The Dybbuk. Why, from highest heights to deepest depths below, has the soul fallen? Within itself, the fall contains the resurrection. Night in the village of Mirapol. Huts and cabins nestled together. In the square stands the small wooden synagogue. The tired traveler stops to look at a small patch of ground, at a grave with an inscription. Here lie a pure and holy bride and bridegroom murdered in a pogrom. As they were being led to the wedding canopy, they are buried together on the spot where they died. There is no date. Night in Mirapol. Listen. I listen in order that I too, in time, can tell the story. I am the storyteller, the Magid. Enter the synagogue with me. It is the story.
Rabbi Davidul of Talon, may his merits hover over us, had a chair of gold which bore the inscription, David, King of Israel, who is living still.
Rabbi Israel of Ruzhin, blessed be his memory, kept royal state. An orchestra of 24 musicians played to him as he sat at table. And when he drove abroad, it was behind a tandem of never less than 6 magnificent horses.
And it is told of Rabbi Shmuel of Kaminka that he went in golden slippers, slippers of gold.
The holy Rabbi Zusia of Anipol was poor as a beggar all his life long. He wore peasant's blouse with a rope for a belt, yet his accomplishments were not inferior to those of the rabbis of Talan and Ruzhin.
Excuse me, stranger, you're interrupting without any idea what we're really discussing. Don't think that when we talk about the greatness of the rabbis that we mean their wealth. No. The point is that a deep and secret significance lies behind the golden chair and the orchestra of 24 musicians and the golden slippers.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone who isn't blind, huh?
Yeah. Now, the essence of the matter is this. The golden chair was no chair. The orchestra was no orchestra, and the horses, no horses. They were merely the semblance of these things, a reflection, and their purpose was to provide a setting for greatness.
Greatness needs no setting.
No, you are wrong. No. True greatness must have the setting which befits it.
The world is full of wonders.
Talking of wonders, there's a wonder worker in the village I come from, an amazing fellow. For instance, he can start a fire with one spell and put it out with another.
No.
Yeah, he can see what's happening 100 miles away. He can bring wine out of the wall by tapping with his finger. And many other things besides. He can make himself invisible and evoke evil spirits.
Even Satan himself.
No.
I have his word for it.
There is only one way Satan can be summoned, and that is by uttering the mighty double name of God.
Hi-ya.
The flame which has the power to weld together the mountain heights and the deepest valleys.
Isn't it dangerous to speak that great name?
Dangerous? No. Only the heat of too great a desire can cause the vessel to burn when the spark becomes a flame.
Where is he?
Huh?
Who?
The wonder worker.
As I said, in my own village. That is, if he's still alive.
Who is that?
One of the students at the school, Hanan.
Is it far?
The village?
The village.
Very far. A long, long way down into the marshlands of Polesia. Far beyond the forests.
How far?
A good month or more. What makes you ask? You want to see him? Well, Krasny is the name of the village, and the miracle worker's name is Rabbi Elchanan.
Elchanan. Elchanan. That means the God of Hanan.
He's the real thing, I tell you. One day, in broad daylight, he showed, by means of a spell...
No. That'll do. You shouldn't talk about such things at this time of night, especially in a holy place. You may not mean to, but it could just happen that you'll pronounce some spell or make some sign yourself, God forbid.
God forbid. Ah,
and then there'll be a disaster. Accidents happen like that, God forbid, have been known to happen, but... Hanan? Hanan!
Let him go.
Hanan. When he looked at me, I felt that I had seen him somewhere before.
He's a vessel beyond price.
A brain of steel.
Where is he from?
Mayor knows, our beadle. Mayor, tell us, where does Hanan come from?
Hanan, somewhere in Lithuania.
The traveler here is asking about him.
Thank you.
Oh, in the school here, he was the finest scholar. He was granted the degree of rabbi. And then, all of a sudden, he vanished. Mm. Nothing was heard of him for a whole year. When he returned, which was not long ago, he had changed entirely. Now, he goes about absorbed in deep meditation, from which nothing arouses him. Mm. There is a rumor that he is studying the Kabbalah.
All the mystic books. Yes.
People have heard about him, even in the city. He's been asked to give charms, but he always refuses.
Who knows who he is? One of the great ones. One of the 36 just men, maybe. Who can tell?
They always remain hidden.
It would be dangerous to spy on him.
Oh, yes. It's late. Let's go to bed. Pity your miracle worker isn't here, Schmelke, eh? Hmm? To tap us some wine from the wall. I could do with a drop of brandy to cheer me up. I've not had a bite to eat all day.
It's been a fast day for me, too. Since early morning prayers, a crust of bread is the only thing I've said grace over.
Never mind. You just wait a bit, and there'll be some wine coming your way.
Oh, what?
Yes. Zenda's been after a bridegroom for his daughter again.
Again?
Yes, this time to Klimovka. When he gets the contract signed, it will be a happy hour for him. And then he'll be good for a feast.
Oh. Dancing in the streets.
Dancing.
I don't believe he'll ever sign one. 3 times he's been to get a bridegroom. Either he doesn't like the young man, or else the family isn't aristocratic enough, or it's the dowry. Now, it's wicked to be as fastidious as he is.
Senda has the right to pick and choose if he wants to. May he be protected from the evil eye. He is rich and successful, and his only daughter has grown up a good and beautiful girl.
I love Senda. He's a true Mirapol chassid. There's spirit to them.
Yes, he's a good chassid, all right. There's no denying that, but... He might have done something different with his only daughter.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, in the old days, when a man of wealth and good family wanted a husband for his daughter, he didn't look for money or good blood, but only for nobility of character. He went to the yeshiva. He gave the head a handsome gift to pick out for him the flower of the school for a son-in-law. Huh? Well, Senda should have done the same.
He might have found one in the school here.
How do you know?
Oh, I'm only supposing.
Well, let's not gossip, particularly about one of our own people. Marriages are arranged in heaven anyway.
Heaven.
It's destiny.
What is this?
Hey! Lord, help me!
I have some concern for my daughter. She has been lying for 2 days without moving, without speaking. Open the ark. Hurry, please.
Yes, all right, yes.
I will not leave the scrolls until my daughter's life is saved.
Yes.
Oh, mothers of Israel, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, help me.
Yes,
see my misery. Look at my pain. See my grief. Do not take my daughter. Do not uproot the sapling. No, cast the young dove from its nest. No, I will not leave here until they give me back the crown of my life. If you do not help me, Lord, I will defy you.
Hannah, Esther, let me gather some men to say psalms for her recovery.
Oh, yes, yes, say the psalms. But hurry, hurry, every minute is precious.
Yes.
For 2 days, she has been fighting with death.
They'll say the psalms this minute.
And give them this money for their trouble.
Oh,
I must run to the other prayer houses. Yes. For 2 days, 2 days, my daughter, my dove, in the valley of the shadow. I must hurry, hurry, hurry.
This was a terrible thing.
This morning, a woman came to the ark to pray for her daughter in labor and who had not yet given birth. And here comes another praying for hers who is wrestling with death.
She gave me 10 kopecks, 1 kopeck for each man. Mm. Well, let's get the psalms over and then we'll have a drop of something. And the Lord have mercy on the sick woman and send her a quick recovery.
Amen.
Dolph, ask which of the students wants to say psalms. Come.
Who wants to say psalms? There's a bit of oak red for everyone that does.
Come into the next room. Here.
Harold, will you come?
No, I'm a study. I'll stay.
And I stay, too.
The Holy Ark is open. Who opened it? Why is it open in the middle of the night? The Holy Scrolls. Shoulder to shoulder. Calm. Silent. All secrets of the Kabbalah are hidden in you. All the possible combinations of words and numbers. It's so hard to get even one secret, one symbol from you. So hard. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. 9 scrolls, and on each of the scrolls are 4 handles, symbols of the Tree of Life. 36. Again. 36. Not an hour passes, but I see that number, 36. I don't understand how or why, but I am sure that everything is to be understood from it. 36. And if every number is also a letter, then Leah is 36. And Hanun, 3 times 36. Oh, I see only numbers, numbers. Leah, that makes Leha not God. Not through God. Terrible thought. But it pulls me nearer and nearer and nearer.
Hanun!
Nothing but secrets and symbols, and the right path is not to be found.
Hanun, you're dreaming. You don't eat, you don't sleep. You've been meddling with the Kabbalah, the Book of Roziel. Hanun.
What?
Ever since you came back, you haven't held the book in your hand.
Book? What book?
The Talmud. The laws and the commentaries.
The laws are dry and cold. Oh,
what?
Henoch. Try and imagine. Under the earth's surface, there is a world exactly the same as ours, with fields and forests, seas and deserts. And over the seas sail great ships, and over the forests thunder rolls. In only one thing does that world differ from ours. There is no sky. No sky blazing with the heat of the sun. So it is with the Talmud. It is deep and glorious and vast, but it chains you to the earth, forbids you to climb up and up. But the Kabbalah tears your soul away and lifts you to the heights, spreads heaven before you and raises a corner of the great curtain itself. Oh, oh,
come on! Don't forget those flights are full of danger. The Talmud raises the soul by careful degrees, but the Kabbalah... Remember what the Talmud says. For each part is the enchanted garden of knowledge. Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Achan, Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai looked and died. Ben Zoma looked and lost his reason. Achan looked and lost his faith. Only Rabbi Akiva went in and came out in peace.
They may have failed because they went to look and not offer themselves. The holy Baal Shem, he did not fail.
Are you comparing yourself to our holy founder?
No, to nobody. I go my own way.
What way is that?
You wouldn't understand.
I want to understand. I feel as suffocated as you do. My soul also wants to fly up.
The work of our teachers and holy men consists in cleansing human souls, tearing away the sin that clings to them. There is no need to wage war on sin. All that is needed is to burn it away, refine it, as the goldsmith refines gold in a flame. As the farmer winnows the grain from the chaff, so sin must be refined of its uncleanness until only its holiness remains.
Holiness in sin? How can you say such a thing?
Everything created by God contains a spark of holiness.
Sin was not created by God, but by Satan.
And who created Satan? God. Satan is the other side of God, another aspect of God, and therefore must contain a germ of holiness.
Holiness in Satan. I don't understand.
Let me think. Henoch. Which sin is the strongest of all? Which is the hardest to conquer? The sin of lust for women. Isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And when you have cleansed this sin in a powerful flame, then this greatest sin becomes the greatest holiness. It becomes the song of songs. The song of song. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a slice of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David. Oh, you are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful.
Coming! Coming! Can it be so late? Ah, Freda, good evening.
Cinder's daughter, Leia, with her old nurse.
Mirapol is my prison become a sanctuary.
Child, Leia would like to ask you something.
Ask? Ask?
You promised to show me the old embroidered curtains of the Ark. Do you remember?
Leia. Come on, stand aside. They want to look at the Ark.
Show the curtains, Leia, the old ones, the most beautiful. Leia says she will embroider a new curtain for the anniversary of her mother's day.
I'll bring the oldest and the most beautiful curtains to show her. At once, this very minute, come.
The oldest,
come
with me. Warm.
Here.
What is it, Leia? You're shaking. Nothing. Nothing. Aren't you afraid to be in the synagogue at night? I've never been here at night before, except on the days of the rejoicing of the law. That was a feast. And everything was bright and joyful. But now it's sad. So sad. Synagogue must be sad. The dead come here at midnight to pray, and when they go, they leave their sorrows behind them. And old. How old. How lovely. Why is it so sad, so wrapped in dreams? I feel full of tenderness and pity.
Yes, this is the oldest of all. A good 200 years or more. It is never used except on parcels.
Oh,
isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah, dear, just look. Such stiff, brown velvet. All embroidered in heavy gold. Patsy, see? Two lions holding the shield of David above their heads. Oh. You can't get such velvet nowadays.
The curtain is sad, but I love it too.
Come. I'll help you fold it away. Not carefully. So carefully.
There. You know, I haven't seen these curtains myself.
The young man in the corner is staring at you. Strangely, who is he? Hanon. He was a poor scholar and he used to be a guest in our house. I wish I knew why he is so pale and sad. He must have been ill. I wish I could speak to him. Oh, he may be pale, but his eyes are shining. He has wonderful eyes. And when he talks to me, I want to... But it wouldn't be proper for a girl to talk to a strange young man. I can't. I don't know what to do.
We must kiss the Holy Scroll.
Yes.
No, you cannot be a guest in the house of God and leave without kissing his Holy Scroll. Well,
by all means, come.
Come, children, hey. Come.
Coming. Yeah. Good evening, Hannah. You have been away.
Yes.
And now you have come back.
Yes.
I am glad.
Come, Leah. Come, child. There. Not too long. That'll do, child. That'll do. Oh, look, how dark it's getting. How late. Come, quickly. We must hurry home.
Yes.
Quickly.
Go. Go carefully. Go carefully, yeah?
Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a slice of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David. Oh, you are beautiful, my love. Oh, no, stop. Get away. Such thoughts.
Hanum. You use spells and go through the ceremonies prescribed in the Book of Rosary?
Yes.
You're not afraid?
No.
And you fast from Sabbath to Sabbath?
Yes.
Why? Why do you do it? What for?
I want to be, to attain, to be as a clear, sparkling diamond. And then I want to melt that diamond in tears and inhale into my soul. I want to attain to the third plane of beauty, the holy place. I want. Yes. And I still need 2 barrels of gold coins for Senda, who only understands about money.
Hanum, be careful. No holy power will help you achieve these things.
And if holy powers will not, what then, Hanoch?
Your fervor pushes you to the limits. You are on the edge of an abyss.
The middle of the road is for horses.
I'm afraid to talk to you. I'm afraid to be near you.
Where is she running to in such a state?
There. We've just seen Baruch.
Yeah.
He's that from Klimovka.
They couldn't agree terms.
Senda
insisted the bridegroom's father should board the couple for 10 years, and they would only agree to 5. So they all went home again.
That's the 4th time.
Heartbreaking.
You yourself said that marriages are made in heaven.
I have won again.
Anyway, time for me to leave.
Why? What's your hurry?
I'm a messenger. My time is not my own.
You ought to wait until daybreak.
Yes,
it's bitter cold and pitch dark outside.
I shan't lose my way with my lantern.
Before you go, let's drink a health, eh?
That's a good idea.
Hey, come here, come. Cakes and brandy for everyone. Yes. Come. Drink, smell here.
Oi!
Look, Senda! Welcome!
I was just passing and I thought to myself, I wonder what they're up to in there. Deep in study, I thought, or a pious discussion. And what do I find? Everyone deep in preparation for a celebration. Typical Mirapol positive.
Will you have a drop with us, Reb Sender?
I will. You must all congratulate me. Huh? The contract is signed.
But we heard it had all fallen through.
Well, I didn't think we would agree, but at the last moment he gave way, and I have betrothed my daughter. Good luck, go with it. Go for brandy.
Betrothed. It's not possible. Not possible. How? So it was all useless. All in vain. The ablutions, the fasts, and the spells, the symbols, all in vain. Oh, what can I do? What is left? How can I? Ah. The secret of the double name. I see it. It is revealed. I see him. I see him. I have won.
May. Why is it dark in here? Let's have some light.
The wick in my lantern has burnt down. A new one must be lighted.
Yes, I'll do it. Wait, I'll do it now.
Sender, you came to terms with the bridegroom's father.
I did.
Sometimes it happens that relatives promise and then go back on their word. Then litigation follows. You have to be very careful.
Who are you? Who is this man? I don't know him.
Traveler, a storyteller.
Well, what does he want of me?
I don't know.
I'll tell you a story. There was a Hasid who was rich but a miser, and he came to the rabbi. The rabbi took him by the hand and led him to the window. And the rich man looked out onto the street. What do you see? Asked the rabbi. People, answers the rich man. Then the rabbi takes him by the hand and leads him to a mirror. What do you see now? Yeah. Now I see myself, answers the rich man. Then the rabbi says, behold, in the window there is glass, and in the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little silver, and no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, but see only yourself.
Holy words!
You're trying to score off me, huh?
God forbid!
That's it. Let's have a song. A song, huh? Song. Why don't the others join in?
Where's Cameron? Come and join us. Come on.
Is Cameron here? My little Cameron? Bring him here. I want him.
I can't wake him up.
Hannon?
He's dead.
The book of Raziel has fallen from his hand. It is not yet time for my departure. At the end of the earth stands a high mountain. On the top of this mountain is a huge rock. Out of the rock flows a stream of clear water. At the opposite end of the earth is the heart of the world. Each thing in the world has a heart, and the whole world has one great heart, and its beating keeps the world alive. And the heart of the world keeps the clear stream ever in sight, gazing at it with insatiable longing and desire. But the heart of the world cannot take one step towards it, for the moment the great heart moves, it loses sight of the mountain summit and the crystal spring. And if for a single instant it loses sight of the spring, the spring loses in that instant its life, and the heart of the world begins to die, and all creatures with it. The crystal spring has no time of its own, but lives only so long as the heart of the world allows. And this is one day only. At the end of the day, the spring calls to the heart of the world in a song, and is answered in a song from the heart, and the sound of that song passes all over the earth, and out of it shining threads come forth, and fasten onto the hearts of the world's creatures, and join one heart to another. There is a wise person, one of the 36, one of the just, who walks over the earth's surface, gathering the threads from all the hearts. These he weaves into time, and when he has woven one whole day, he gives that day to the heart of the world, who gives it to the spring, and the spring lives one more day. There is always only one more day. Summer. The wedding day. The square. The grave. The inscription. The story.
Shalom Aleichem! You're back!
Aleichem Shalom! I have been sent to you again!
You have come in time for a great wedding? Send this wedding!
It's the talk of all the countryside around.
Yeah, tell me. Did you happen to pass the bridegroom's party on the way? They're late.
The bridegroom will arrive in time.
Ah, let me show you the preparation.
But first, tell me what's happening over there, the music.
The bride is dancing with the poor.
Ah.
Everyone may have a turn. And then afterwards, Senda has arranged a feast for them.
A feast?
Yes, it's fitting in the face of danger not to treat the poor decently. Ah. Come and see the food. There's fish and roast and chimis, and you must have a glass of brandy. Come.
It's my turn to dance with the bride.
I'm going to take her by the
little thing, the bride.
I'm waiting.
Aren't I as good as the other?
Leah!
Hey, then.
Leah! Where is she, Gittel? Can you see?
There! Still dancing!
She'll make herself sick if she doesn't stop. Go and tell her to come. Call her, call her.
Leah! Leah, you've had enough, Leah. You must stop.
Oh, she hasn't danced enough with me yet. Round and round.
Come in! Come in and feast your fill! Rich sender, bid you straightway come. Here's abundance and goodwill, and 10 kopecks for everyone.
I don't want money, beautiful bride. I don't want arms. I want you. I want to dance as I did when I was a girl. I want to dance, to dance, to dance.
Leave her alone, leave her.
Oh, my little dog, you're as white as a sheet. They've worn you out, so they have.
Turning and turning. My head swam. My heart pounded. I thought I would faint, and then someone came and lifted me from the ground and carried me far, far away.
There, your dress is all crushed and dirty. Whatever are you going to do?
They say that if the bride is left alone before the wedding, spirits come and carry her off.
Oh, what an idea, child.
My spirits were not evil ones.
Don't you believe it, child. The minute you trust any of that dark kind, they'll do you mischief.
Booba, there are no evil spirits. Only the souls of those who died before their time.
Oh, God help you, child. What's all this? Souls? Souls? The souls of the pure and good fly up to heaven and stay there, at peace, in the bright garden of Eden.
No, they are here with us. Look at the holy grave. And the holy bride and bridegroom. I have seen them often. Sometimes in dreams, sometimes when I'm awake. I invite them to my wedding. And Handel, what becomes of the life he did not live? His speech that is silenced, his prayers unsaid. Booba, when a candle blows out, we light it again, and it goes on burning to the end. But how can a human life, which goes out before it is burnt down, remain put out forever? How can it? How?
What is it, Leah? Don't be frightened.
Look, they're greeting the bridegroom with music as he comes into the village. Shall I go and take a peep at him? Shall I, Booba?
No.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. I won't give you away.
Yes. No, no, it's the custom, Layla love. The bride sends her friend to see whether the groom is fair or dark or... Who is this?
Bride?
Yes. Who are you?
A traveller, bride.
What is it?
The souls of the dead do return to earth, but not as disembodied spirits. They pass through many forms to achieve purification. Some enter the bodies of the newly born, and some...
Yes.
Some vagrant souls find neither rest nor refuge and pass into the bodies of the living in the form of a dibuk. And the dibuk cleaves to that body until it has attained purity. That is all, bride.
Leia! Leia! Why are you sitting there, little daughter?
She danced with the beggars and they tired her out.
It was a good and pious deed. Besides, one should always make a special effort for the poor.
She still has to go to the graveyard.
Oh, yes. Go, little one. Go to Mama. Weep over her grave and ask her to come to your wedding. To be with you under the canopy so that together we may give our daughter in marriage to Menashe.
Revenda!
You're coming, coming!
Booba. May I invite others to the graveyard besides Mama?
Only near relations. Your grandfather Ephraim, your aunt Mirilla.
I want to invite someone who is not a relation.
No, no. It is forbidden to our strangers.
He is not a stranger. He was in our house, like one of ourselves.
Oh, no. Child! Child! They say he died a bad, unnatural death. Oh, oh, no. There, my little one, don't cry. Ask him if you must. I'll take the sin upon myself.
I saw his grave in a dream. And I saw him, too. He told me of his troubles and begged me to invite him to the wedding. Booba, let's go to the graveyard.
Yes, my baby. And we must hurry. The bridegroom will be here.
Thank you.
my mental welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
Masha, my boy, you are welcome.
Oh, we had a hard and bitter journey. I could almost believe the evil ones, God forbid, were trying to prevent us getting here.
Come in and rest.
There isn't time to rest.
There's still matters to discuss.
Yeah. Of course, of course. We'll sit and talk about the dowry details. Right. Come now,
Rabbi, what do we do?
You are going to be married.
Until?
Menashe, as soon as supper is over, you will be called on to make your oration. Then you rise immediately and stand on the bench, and you begin. The louder the better, do you understand?
I hear. Rabbi?
Eh?
I'm afraid.
Why? Have you forgotten your text?
Not that.
What then?
I'm not sure. All the places we passed were so strange. So many strange faces, too. I can't stand the way everyone looks at me. Their eyes. I'd like to creep into a corner by myself. But I'm surrounded by strangers. I have to talk, answer questions. I feel as though I'm to be hanged. Rabbi?
Yes?
Most of all, I'm afraid of her. Young woman.
Master your fears, Menashe. Otherwise, God forbid, you will forget your text. Come along. We'll go in and I'll hear you over again.
Rabbi?
Yes?
What's that grave in the middle of the street?
Where?
Look.
Here lie a pure and holy bride and bridegroom, murdered in a pogrom as they were being led to the wedding canopy. They are buried together on the spot where they died. Come along. Oh, Lord, save your people before it's too late, or there'll be none left to save. Come, Menashe, come!
Where are they?
I see them.
We're coming.
Well, hurry. Where have you been?
We're coming. Gittel, help her.
Come on.
She fainted, and I had a hard time bringing her round. Oh, I'm shaking all over myself.
It's the fasting. It weakens the heart.
Come, daughter.
Did she cry at her mother's grave?
Oh, don't ask what happened there. I'm still shaking all over.
Everyone here? Right. Yes. But now, bring out the canopy and the chair for the bride. Bring the bride forward to the chair. Come, Nachman. Come, friends.
And I should take the veil and cover your bride's face.
Now? Leia?
No! He is not my bridegroom!
What is it, darling? What has come over you?
Holy bride, protect me. Save me.
Freda, help us!
No! No! You buried me! But I have come back to my destined bride. I will never leave her.
What is she saying? Her voice? So strange. Leia, daughter-in-law.
What?
Into the bride has entered a tibuk. There is a story about the holy Baal Shem, the great rabbi. One day there came to the town a troop of German acrobats who gave a performance in the streets. They stretched a rope across the river, and one of them crossed by this rope to the opposite bank. People stood and watched this marvel, and amidst the crowd stood the holy Baal Shem himself. His disciples were astonished to see him there, and asked him why he had come to watch. He replied, I came to see how a person crosses a deep abyss. And as I looked, I thought that if we could submit our spirits to the same discipline and concentration as that to which the acrobat submits his body, what deep abysses we could cross on the delicate thread of our life. The house of the miracle rabbi, Azrael. Evening prayers are finishing, and I go to take my place at his table.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a stranger here.
I am a traveler and wish to take a place at your table, Rabbi.
A traveler, Mayor. Give him a chair. Yeah. Through many transmigrations, the human soul is drawn by pain and grief, as a child to its mother's breast, to the source of its being, the exalted throne above. But it happens that the soul that has attained to the final state of purification suddenly becomes the prey of evil forces, which cause it to falter and fall. And the higher it has soared, the deeper it falls. And with the fall of such a soul, a world plunges to ruin, and darkness overwhelms us. Yes, leave me.
Rabbi, I wish to stay. Rabbi, two men separated by space and time can nevertheless take part in a dialogue. One asks a question, and the other, elsewhere and later, asks another that is an answer to the first.
Rabbi, Sender Ben-Henya is here.
Sender? Sender, I know.
A terrible misfortune has befallen him. A Dibuk, God's mercy be upon us, has entered into his daughter.
A Dibuk, I know.
He has brought her to you.
To me? To me? Why to me when there is no me to come to, for I am myself no longer?
Rabbi, everybody comes to you.
If they had eyes, they would seek guidance not from me, but from him, who alone can justly use the word I. For he is in all the world the only I.
You are his representative, Rabbi.
So says the world. What do they want of me? I'm old and weak. My soul longs for solitude. I've no longer the strength. I cannot go on. I cannot.
Rabbi, Rabbi, have you forgotten the generations of righteous and holy men of God from whom you are descended?
No. I will not forget my forebears. In times of stress, I must remember them, and they will sustain me. They will not forsake me now. Call in Sender.
Yes, sir. Sender! Sender, come in.
Thank you. Thank you. Rabbi, have mercy on me. Help me. Save my daughter.
Sender. Now, tell me, how did this misfortune come upon you?
It happened just as the groom was about to veil the bride.
That is not what I asked you. Tell me, what could have brought such a thing to pass? A worm can enter a fruit only after it has begun to rot.
Rabbi, my daughter's a pious maiden. She's modest and gentle, and she's never disobeyed me.
Children are sometimes punished for the sins of their parents.
If I knew of any sins, I would do penance.
Have you asked the Dibuk who he was and why he has entered your daughter?
He refuses to tell us, but we recognized him by his voice. He was a student in our school who died suddenly in the synagogue. He'd been meddling in the Kabbalah, and evil powers destroyed him.
How do you know?
A short while before his death, he told the student Chenoich that sin need not be fought against, for Satan too is holy. He also tried to use charms to make gold.
You have done him some injustice or mistreated him? Try to remember.
I don't know. I can't remember. Rabbi, I'm only human after all. I can't.
Bring in the young woman.
Yes. Raina, bring her in now.
Maiden, I command you, come in. Now, sit down.
No, no, let me be.
No.
I will not be here. Let me go.
Dibuk.
No, child.
Who are you? I command you to answer.
Mirapol, Rabbi, you know very well who I am. I do not wish the others to know.
I do not ask your name. I ask, who are you?
I am one of those who sought other paths.
He only seeks other paths, who has left the straight one.
The straight one is too narrow.
Why did you enter this maiden?
I am her predestined bridegroom.
According to our holy scriptures, a dead soul may not stay in the realms of the living.
I have not died.
You left our world, and so you are forbidden to return until the blast of the great trumpet shall be heard. I command you, therefore, to leave the body of this maiden.
Mirapol, Rabbi! I know your powers. I know angels and archangels obey your words. But me, you cannot command. I have nowhere to go. On every side, forces of evil lay in wait to seize me. There is heaven, there is earth, and all the countless worlds in space. And yet there is no place in any of them for me. Now that my soul has found refuge from the bitterness and terror of pursuit, you try to drive me away. Have mercy! Don't send me away. Don't force me to go.
Wandering so, you fill me with profound pity. And I will use my powers to save you from evil spirits. But you must leave the body of this maiden.
I will not leave.
If you do not obey me, I will curse you. I will ban you and exorcise you with all the powers at my command.
I will not leave.
Dibuk, I plead with you.
I am not afraid of your curse. I do not believe in your promises. The highest heights cannot compare with the resting place I have found. No abyss is deeper than that which awaits me. I will not leave. In the name of the Almighty, I am bound to my beloved and will remain with her to all eternity.
Take the girl from the room.
Come, little one.
No, there's nothing to be frightened of. The rabbi knows best. The rabbi comes wrong, my darling. Oh,
Sandra, you go to.
Come,
yes, rabbi. Mayor.
Rabbi.
Summon a council. And bring me a candle, a black candle. The ram's horn, a black cloth, and the holy scrolls.
Yes, Rabbi.
For even though it has been ordained in the high plains, I will reverse that decree.
Rabbi Shimshon is here.
Yes, let him come in.
Rabbi.
Rabbi Shimshon.
Rabbi, I've been waiting to speak with you. There is something I must reveal to you. It has a bearing on this affair.
I'm listening.
Do you remember a young man called Nissim? Nissim ben Rivka, a student of the Kabbalah. He used to come and see you, Rabbi, many years ago.
Yes, he went far away and died, far away while still in his youth.
That same Nissim ben Rivka appeared to me 3 times in my dreams last night, demanding that I summon Sender ben Henye to trial before the rabbinical court.
What is his charge against Sender?
He didn't say. He only repeated that Sender had done him a mortal injury.
And how do these dreams relate to this dibuk?
I have been told that the student who died and entered the body of Sender's daughter was the son of the dead Nissim. There is also a rumor of a pact with Nissim which has not been kept. Rabbi, should you not postpone the exorcism until you have held a trial?
Very well. I shall be guided by this dream. Shimshon, take my staff and go to the graveyard. At the first grave the staff touches, stop and knock upon it 3 times and repeat what I tell you word for word. Pure dead, I am sent by Azrael, son of the great sage Itzel of Mirapol, who begs your pardon for disturbing your peace, and asks you to inform the pure dead Nissim ben Rivke that the just and righteous rabbinical court of Mirapol summons him to be present immediately at a trial at which he shall appear. Go, and God protect you.
Rabbi.
Let me speak with Sender.
Yes, Rabbi. Sender, the rabbi wishes to speak with you.
Thank you.
Ah, Sender.
Yes, Rabbi.
Come closer. Sender, do you remember the bosom friend of your youth, Nissim ben Rivke?
Nissim? But he died.
Last night he appeared 3 times in the dreams of Rabbi Shimshon and demanded from him that you be summoned to a rabbinical trial.
Me? A trial? What does he want of me? Rabbi, help me! What shall I do?
I don't know the nature of his accusations, but you must accept the summons.
Yeah, I will do whatever you say.
Then send for the bridegroom and have everything ready so that the wedding may take place as soon as the dibuk is expelled. Let nothing prevent the bridegroom from arriving on time.
The bridegroom will be here on time. And so begins a trial between a living man and a dead one, which is as rare as it is difficult.
I beheld a good dream.
Mayor, set a partition screen which shall separate the dead man from the living.
Yes, Rabbi.
So, Sender, we have sent to inform the pure dead Nissim ben Rivke that the rabbinical court summons him to appear in his cause against you. Are you willing to accept our verdict?
I am.
Will you accept our sentence?
Rabbi, it begins to come back to me. It may be that the trial which Nissim ben Rivke summons me to concerns an agreement upon which we shook hands one day many years ago,
But in that matter, I am not to blame.
You will have an opportunity to speak of this later on. Rabbi Shimshon, take your place. Soon will appear amongst us one from the true world, the hidden world, in order to submit to our judgment a case between himself and the man of our untrue world. It is with fear and trembling, therefore, that we are to approach the trial at issue. With fear and trembling. Pure dead, Nissim ben Rivka.
I believe he is answering. I hear a voice and no words. And I hear words, but no voice.
The pure dead Nissim ben Rivka says, in our youth we were friends. We studied at the same school together, and our souls were bound together in true friendship. We were both married in the same week, and we made a solemn pact that if our wives bore children, and one bore a son and the other a daughter, these two children would marry.
Yes, it was so.
Soon afterwards, I left for a faraway place, where my wife bore me a son in the same hour as your wife bore you a daughter. Soon afterwards, your wife died, and I too was gathered to my fathers. In the world of the dead, the true world, I saw that my son was blessed with a true and lofty soul, was progressing from plane to plane, and my heart overflowed with joy and pride. I also saw how, as my son grew older, he became a wanderer from place to place, for the soul to which his soul was predestined drew him ever onward. At last, he came to the place where you lived. You took him into your house, and he sat at your table. And his soul was bound to the soul of your daughter. But you were rich, and my son was poor. And you turned your back on him, and looked for a bridegroom from richer families with bigger dowries. Now I watched my son grow desperate, become a traveler again, and wander the world seeking new paths. My heart was filled with fear and sorrow, as the dark powers spread their net for him. Which they did, and caught him, and tore him from the world before his time. From then, I saw my son's soul roam the worlds, until it entered the body of your daughter as a dibuk. With the death of my son, I was cut off, without a name, unremembered, no heirs to say prayers for my soul. My light has been extinguished forever, the crown of my head rolled into the abyss. I ask the just and righteous court to sentence Sender according to the laws of the Holy Scriptures for the killing of my son Hanun and my child's children and their children until the end of all generations.
Sender, you have heard the charges brought against you. How do you answer?
I can't speak. I have no words. But I ask you to beg my old comrade to forgive me my sin. It was not committed in malice. We did make the pact, but soon after, Nissen went away, and I didn't know whether his wife had a child, boy or girl.
You made no inquiries?
None.
The pure dead Nissim Ben Rivka asks, why, when my son came to your house and sat at your table, did you not ask him who he was, where he came from?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Why did you not ask your daughter what she wished? In your heart of hearts, you knew my son, and you were afraid to ask. You were ambitious for your daughter to live in ease and riches. And for that, you pushed my son down into the abyss.
This just and righteous court has heard both parties, and this is its verdict. It is not known whether at the time of the pact between Sender Ben Henya and Nissen Ben Rivka their wives had conceived, and no agreement involving the unborn can be held valid by the law of the Holy Scriptures. Therefore, this pact was not binding upon Sender. However, the belief was implanted in the heart of Nissim Ben Rivka's son that the daughter of Sender was his predestined bride. And furthermore, Sender's behavior brought calamity upon both Nissim Ben Rivka and his son. Now, therefore, we decree that Sender give half his fortune in alms to the poor for the rest of his life. And on the anniversaries of the deaths of the pure dead Nissim Ben Rivka and his son Hanun, he light memorial candles and say the prayers for the dead as though they were his own family. We ask the pure and innocent Nissim Ben Rivka to forgive Sender unreservedly and to command his son to leave the body of the maiden Leah Baschana in order that she may live. In return for these things, the Almighty will make manifest his grace to Nissim Ben Rivka and to his lost son. Sender Ben Henya, did you hear our judgment, and do you accept it?
I accept.
Pure and innocent Nissim Ben Rivka, did you hear our judgment, and do you accept it? Return now to your resting place. And in going, we command you to do no harm to man nor any other living creature. Sender, have the bridegroom and his people arrived?
There's been no sign of them.
Send another rider to meet them and urge them to use all the speed they can. See that the canopy is raised and the musicians are waiting in readiness so that the moment the dibuk is cast out, you may proceed with the wedding. Mayor, have the partition removed.
Yes, sir. I didn't hear the dead man forgive Sender.
Nor did I.
Nor me neither.
He did not say amen to the sentence. You noticed too?
Yes, distinctly.
It's a bad sign.
Extremely.
So we know that the dead man did not accept the verdict?
Rabbi Azrael, is extremely agitated. Look at him.
Mayor, is everything prepared?
Yes, Rabbi.
What is now about to be done shall be done. Let the maiden be brought forward.
Let the maiden be brought forward.
Dibuk, in the name of the great Sanhedrin of Jerusalem, I, Azrael ben Hadassah, do for the last time command you to leave the body of the maiden Leah Bashana.
I refuse.
Mayor, light the candle and have the trumpets ready. Yes. Stubborn spirit, I curse you with all the curses written in the book of law. You have dared to oppose our power. So we deliver you into the hands of the higher spirits, which will tear you out by force. Blow Tekiyah!
You shall not tear me away! I shall not leave! You shall not tear us apart!
Since the higher spirits cannot overcome you, I surrender you to the spirits of the middle plane. These are neither good nor bad. I invoke their power to tear you out. Blow Shavorim!
Woe is me! All the powers of the world stand against me. I am ripped and torn by terrible spirits. My own father stands with them, commanding me to go. But until the last spark of strength leaves me, so long shall I defy you and remain here with my beloved.
Mayor, bring the black candle here.
Yes, yes.
And let us put on shrouds. Rise up, O Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered before thee. As smoke is dispersed, so let them be scattered. I, Azrael ben Hadassah, do with these words cut the 36 cords that bind you to the world of living creatures, and to the body and soul of the maiden Leah Bashana.
Ah! I am lost!
And I pronounce you excommunicated from all Israel. Blow Teruah!
Defeated! I cannot struggle any longer.
Do you submit?
I submit.
Do you promise to leave the body of the maiden Leah Bashana and never return?
I promise.
The last spark has been swallowed into the flame.
Say God is for me. The hour of my going is upon me.
Senda, say Kaddish. Dibuk, by the same powers with which I banned and excommunicated you, I now lift that ban. Lord of the world, God of charity and mercy, look down at the suffering of this lost and tortured soul, which others' misdeeds has caused to be led astray. Remember only its virtuous past and its present anguish. And let the merits of its forefathers rise like a soft mist before thy sight. Lord of the world, free its path from evil spirits and lead it to a sweet and everlasting rest. Amen. Wedding canopy.
Right, woman, they've been frightened. They're on the hill, so I will be here soon.
So, what will be, will be. I draw this circle with my staff around the maiden, through which the souls of the dead may not pass. Freda, stay here with the bride. And we will go, all of us, to meet the bridegroom.
Is that you? Yes, yes. I feel so strange. So tired. Hold me. Put your arms around me. I'm cold.
No, don't be afraid, Leia, darling. No. Don't be sad. No. Let the black cat be sad. No, you must be happy. Holy angels embrace you in their wings. Now, be calm, my little one. Mighty power is guarding you on every side. No. 60 giants with drawn swords. Yes, and the holy fathers and holy mothers ward off the evil eye. Hanilla. Hanilla mine, why do you come in clothes so fine? Why should I not come robed in state? Is this not my wedding day? Now Hanilla has dressed so fine, you go. Why is your face so full of woe? What should I do for my daughter's a bride? She is led by strangers, and I mourn aside. There stands the prophet Elijah, the great goblet of wine in his hand. And the words of his holy, holy blessing roll echoing over the land.
So deeply.
I
hear your voice, but I cannot see you.
You are in a magic circle that I cannot enter.
Your voice is as sweet as the lament of a violin. Who are you? Tell me.
I have forgotten. I have no remembrance of myself except in your thoughts of me.
I remember now. The tears that I have shed in the still midnight. The one who stood before me ever in my dreams. Was it you?
I
remember your sad, gentle eyes. Your hands
with the thin tapering fingers. Waking and sleeping, I had no thoughts but of you. You left, and darkness fell. My soul withered like the soul of a widow. The stranger came, and then you returned, and the dead heart woke to life again. Out of sorrow, joy blossomed. Why have you left me again?
I broke all barriers between us. I crossed the plains of death. I defied every law of time and space. I strove against the powerful and those who know no mercy. And as my last spark of strength died, I left your body to enter your soul.
Come back to me, my bridegroom, my husband. I will carry you dead in my heart. And in our dreams at night, we shall rock our children to sleep. Our unborn children, and sew them little clothes, and sing them lullabies. Oh, they are coming to take me to a stranger. Oh, come back to me, my true bridegroom. Come back to me.
I will come to your soul.
Predestined bridegroom, I am united with you forever. We soar upward together, higher and higher, higher and higher.
Save her. It is too late.
Blessed be the righteous judge. Why, from highest height to deepest depth below, has the soul fallen? Within itself, the fall contains the resurrection.
You have been listening to The Dybbuk by S. Anski. Leia was played by Angela Pleasance, Hanan by Anton Lesser, the storyteller by Michael Poole, Freda by Marjorie Mason, and Rabbi Azriel by Cyril Schatz. Sender was played by David DeKaiser, Mayer by Leonard Fenton, Schmelke by Benny Lee, Dov by Martin Friend, Aaron by Harold Casket, Chanuch by David Graham, and Hannah Esther by Hilda Kreisman. Gittel was played by Julia Swift, Rabbi Shimshon by John Gabriel, Menashe by Tim Stern, Mendel by Danny Schiller, and The Beggar Woman by Tammy Ustinov. The music was composed and conducted by Stephen Deutsch. The play was translated by Henry G. Alsberg and Winifred Katzin, and adapted for radio and directed by Leanne Orchid.